It's Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our study in Matthew chapter 15 with part two of yesterday's message titled, Jesus Showcases a True Israelite.
What did Jesus just say he's seeking? She comes down, she worships, and she says, Lord, help me. Such a moment in the Gospels. It's sort of everything. Everything I think Christianity is pushing us to see about Christ in response to him. I need you. You're all I have. Son of David. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She knows him. She sees him. This is a Canaanite coming to the Jewish Messiah, recognizing it's the Lord who is the Son of David. No Pharisee would ever have said that about him. What a scene. What a scene. This is a remarkable scene. Notice she continues begging. She's just begging. It should stand out. She just kept asking. She wouldn't leave him alone, and he's not answering her a word. Lord, have mercy on me, on my daughter, Son of David. It's just glaring, but he answered her not a word. You even imagine that? What one thing that I've tried to do as a pastor every Sunday is attempt to communicate over and over that the Lord answers you, right? That when you confess your sin 70 times 7, he actually forgives you. Oh, I want you to understand that. I want you to know that. That's my great burden as a pastor, that you'd know the forgiveness of the Lord, that he has answered you. What if you didn't hear a word? So you can picture this. They're walking. He's in Tyre and Sidon, in this region, Canaanite region. She's dragging herself, if you will, at his feet, begging him. He just keeps walking. She keeps crying out, nothing. Disciples come up, begged him, send her away. She just keeps crying out after us. Get rid of her. And then comes the most perplexing response of the narrative. Something we've not seen from Jesus in the Gospels. Every time somebody seemed to have come like this, with this kind of contriteness and this kind of brokenness and this kind of crying out, unlike this prideful scene we had just come out of, he showed mercy. He helped nothing. After all this silence, after all this begging, he then says this, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It gets worse. She continues to beg. He says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, in any sort of sense, at least if this were our day, what an insult, right? He just called the woman a dog. That's not going to fly in a woke culture for sure. Well, that word had a lot of meaning for Jews. It was often referred to Gentiles. It's a different word that's used elsewhere, but it's still the same thing. It's a dog. Matthew has been telling us the whole time, Jesus welled up with compassion for people. This is so uncharacteristic. This is the last thing she seems to get for a while is compassion. She gets kind of rough treatment from him. I came for Israel. I'm not throwing the children's food to a dog. What in the world is this? Well, he won't stop. He won't respond. And when he does, he calls her a dog. Then he says this, "Let the little children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to a little dog." What he was saying was, salvation belongs to who? Israel. Salvation belongs to Israel. Now, this is where I said you have to put the scenes together. What just happened? Well, it was the children of Israel who assaulted him. It was the Pharisees and the leaders and the pastors of Israel who had just assaulted him for not washing properly, right? The tradition of the elders was just imposed on Jesus. And what was the most unclean thing to a Jew? This was the very reason the hand washing incident was raised, was because the disciples had brushed up against Gentiles. That's where Jesus was often. They called all Gentiles dogs. What did Jesus just say? Do you think, to the multitudes, somebody is made clean by properly washing their hands? It's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles. That leveled everyone. But they, of course, only looked at things externally. They looked at her. They would have looked at this woman and said, she's unclean. She's a Gentile. They would have been in agreement. Here's where I think the scene challenges us a bit. Had the Pharisees been standing there, and at least the disciples were standing there, they would have all agreed with Jesus. Amen. Get her out of here. She's unclean. Have nothing to do with her. Jesus just said that's not what makes somebody unclean. You see? What's he doing here? Well, he's making a scene. He's making a scene. He is drawing something out. Jesus treats this woman roughly for a minute. In fact, he offends her. What just happened with the Pharisees? He offended them. He just offends her. I always like to think, here's proof of inspiration. Anytime you deal with confronting human righteousness and people's self-confidence, it's going to cause offense. I'm so thankful for that little verse. You see the Spirit's wisdom there. Do you know the Pharisees were offended? Jesus wants to illustrate something. I believe he's using this moment to show the disciples, to draw out a heart that's truly cleansed. Now, I wasn't there, but I bet it went something like this. As she's begging, he doesn't even look at her, but he looks at the disciples. Well, you know, it's just for the children. It's not right for me to take what's holy and give it to the dogs, right? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong on the, you know, inflection. Well, whatever the case, the disciples would have said, amen. We shouldn't even be here. What did she do? Here's the grand moment of the story. Here's the grand moment. Big verse is verse 25. But she came and knelt before him. If you look at that carefully, you'll notice there, it's really the word for worship. What did Jesus just say he's seeking? These people draw near to me with their hearts or mouths, but their hearts are far. In vain do they worship me. She comes down, she worships. And she says, Lord, help me. Such a moment in the Gospels. It's sort of everything. Everything I think Christianity is pushing us to see about Christ in response to him. I need you. You're all I have. I believe you are the Lord, the Son of David. What a different spirit than that of the self-righteous leaders of Israel. Oh, you don't wash properly before you eat. One is a legal spirit. I don't know if you really can see the difference here between a legal spirit and a gospel spirit. Do you understand the difference? A legal spirit and a gospel spirit. See how ugly the legal spirit is? Picking apart everyone, imposing a standard, beating everyone with that standard, and they don't even keep the standard themselves. Jesus just said, Israel draws near with their mouth, but their heart is far. Is she far? Is that heart far? Well, what do people want from Christ? See, I believe he is exposing the unrelentless drive of this woman who just keeps coming. And might I be so bold to say, she won't accept no for an answer. She won't accept no. I think he wants to showcase that. In other words, if this is the Lord, the Son of David, to whom else could I go? Where else could I go? I need help. Now, I'd never thought about this before, but I think this is a play on a very important story in the Old Testament. A very important story. Remember Genesis 33? Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." This is precisely what's happening here. By the way, this is the wrestling you all must go through. It's what I must go through. The imagery here is Jacob won't let go until he's helped. He had already been dislocated. Here, beloved, is captured where every true son and daughter of Christ must come in this life and will come. We must come to a place in life where we see how helpless we are. There are a variety of things that can aid this, like a sick daughter. In our sorrow, when we are tested, the question is, where are we driven? It's our helplessness that drives us to him. It's our helplessness that drives us to him. For we see him for who he is. And when we see him for who he is, something happens. When faith comes, something happens. Jacob, the story's not over. Jacob wrestled until daybreak. Most of the night, and then finally, after Jacob's strength was all taken away, all Jacob's strength was stripped. He has to cling now. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. He said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Who's the true Israel? Who becomes an Israelite? She clung to him. She believed this is the Lord, the Son of David. And Jesus says, no, it's not for the dogs. He's right. He's right. She's not a dog. She's not like the Pharisees who got offended when he challenged their righteousness. And here comes the big response of faith. Yeah, Lord. But even the little dogs have to eat. Even the little dogs that sit under the table have to eat the crumbs, don't they? I always get annoyed with that when I had a dog. And almost inevitably, we would always hear, don't feed the dogs from under the table. Create scavengers. What a statement. Listen to the spirit behind it. I know what I am. I know I'm a dog. I agree with you. Salvation's of the Jews. I don't have any right to this. I don't deserve any of this. I have no claim to this. I have no right to this. I have no privilege that makes me worthy of this. In the eyes of everyone, I know I'm an unclean thing. She thinks, I'm not bothered you called me that. I welcome you calling me that. You know why? Because that means there's hope. Because a dog still got to eat. I just think it's amazing we have dogs that teach us this. I'm like a little scavenger. I'm like the dog that comes up and licks the ground. I'm not offended by that. But I still have to eat, and you have the bread. So can you give me some crumbs? How can the unclean have bread from the clean? I have no way of cleansing myself. I know what I am. I know I still need you, and I need your help, and you're the only one that can give it, and I worship you alone. Oh, woman. Great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And by saying this, Jesus recognized in the midst of this other religion that tried to purify itself before God by the tradition of the elders, she was the only one in that scene that had a truly cleansed heart. The disciples did, but he's making the point. She's the one. By faith, she had been cleansed. Her faith made her well. What is the truth of the Christian gospel, beloved? A true Jew is not one through outward observance. This is a really hard concept for people, I guess, to get. A true Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is not outward. It's that of the heart and the spirit and not in the ritualistic observance of the letters of the law, so that the praise is not from men but from God. That's Romans 2. That means that when the heart is cleansed by faith in Christ, you're an Israelite. You are the Israel of God. A true child of God looks like this. And worship then follows of people who come to him and worship him for who he is and see him for who he is and rest in him for such grace and deliverance. I don't care where I'm positioned. You could use Psalm 84. You could put me in the bathroom today. I'm not missing worship. If I have to sit in the bathroom just to be near to you, I'll do that. Just give me the crumbs. Now, I hope you see the difference today. It's the most difficult thing for people to ask for mercy. I think you know this. It's really hard for people who have everything to accept a free gift. Who think they have to pay for it. And most of all, it's humiliating, for you're actually going to need help. You're actually going to realize you can't do any of this. You have to recognize that you have come to a place in life where you're totally helpless. And I want to say that's the best place to be to receive grace. Have you bowed the knee to Jesus today and asked for help? That's my question. If you look at your life, why is it so hard for us to get on the knee and simply ask for help? Lord, help me. It's because pride is a terrible thing. I won't let you go until you bless me. Everything else has fallen apart in life. I have no other source of help. I'm a sinner under the just judgment of God, but I need mercy. And to close this out, I want to say this. Jesus is not teaching that mercy is hard to get, that it's hard to receive mercy. You just have to. No, that's not what he's saying. He showed us this for this reason. He's showcasing how hard an external religion of an uncleansed heart will go to refuse it. He's showing how hard in this passage an uncleansed heart will go to refuse it, but that a true Israelite can go nowhere else but to him to receive it. Where else would we go? Said Peter. You have the words of eternal life. Jesus intends this for you today. Then she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. This is the heart, beloved, that offers true worship to the living God. Behold, a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us this today, and thank you for showcasing your great work in the life of your people. We are Gentiles, but you have brought us in to be the true Israel. Thank you for such a work of grace. May we never forget how helpless and needy we are, for salvation belongs to the Lord. And thank you that he came to make it so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.